Good afternoon and welcome aboard. Happy Tuesday to you. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KPK. So much going on in the news today. We're going to get through it as we work our way through the program. Lots of things of interest. But also, we are at that time of year when the cap-to-cap is going on. And over the years, there was criticism. They didn't want to call it a junket. They didn't want to merely call it a trip. So I think we called it the cap-to-cap effort. I don't know if that's still the term that's used or not, but I do know that my friend Paul Robbins from Fox 40 News is there, and he's checking in with us from, I believe, adjacent to the White House. Paul, is that where you are?
I'm currently Ubering to the White House.
Ubering to the White House.
Yes, I can help you out with that, John. We now call it a program.
It's program.
Cap-to-cap program.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And, you know, for those who don't know, it is an amazing thing. 360-plus civic leaders, elected leaders, business leaders from our area here lobbying Washington, D.C. for a lot of reasons, and not the least of which is on this tax day, we want our money back.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, we're going to talk about this tomorrow morning on the news. California is one of those debtor states. You know, for every dollar we send to Washington, D.C. in our income taxes, we get back about 99 cents.
Yeah.
And there are states that get $3,
yeah,
$4 back, and we want our money, John.
Yeah, no, and this is a very, for many of us, this is the day I put it off to the last possible minute just because it pains me a bit to write those checks. I got mine out today, and I think this is a very good day to kind of take advantage of that raw nerve that so many people experience and be reminded of how the whole program works, how it affects you, and how you can do more if you're not constrained by excessive taxation or even high taxation. Maybe not even going so far as to declare it excessive, although I think it's a fairly easy thing to assert. So is there a big part of the program or the effort this year to address that taxation issue?
Well, you know, I will very frankly say no. It is to take advantage of the harvest of taxation. They're just trying to get Washington, D.C. to pay for things in California. And,
yeah,
and, you know, I mean, it's another battle to have them take less of our money. I think the agenda is, if you're going to take our money, give us back as much as we can possibly get. And in all these areas that the teams focus, whether it's, you know, economic development or healthcare or land use or infrastructure, Washington, D.C., show us the money. That is a crude way of the argument that they eloquently make, cap to cap.
Well, which is not a bad message. Obviously, we have we've got interstate freeways that are in pretty rough shape. Of course, a lot of the streets and highways, city and county roads, are just in terrible, terrible shape around here. So, a lot of infrastructures. I think it's safe to say, to the extent that has an adverse impact on public safety. And of course, we all saw what developed last year up at Oroville, and the potential exists because of what that has done. That whole episode, frankly, did, I think, to the people in the state of California, is just kind of underscore the fact that there has been a tremendous amount of deferred maintenance, and it could at some point take its toll on the safety and the lives of people in the state, depending upon which one of those dams may have a problem. There are a number of them that have not had the benefit of real significant maintenance for some time.
Well, and also under the umbrella of infrastructure, and I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, but yes, roads and bridges, and yes, everything related to water, whether it's protecting us from floods or storing our water. But, you know, they consider technologically what is infrastructure, and it's making sure we have adequate broadband, not
yeah,
just for the cities, but in the rural areas. And so there's just so much that they cover. It's impressive. And then besides asking for money, they're also asking for, give us a break on regulations. Let us build, let us do. And that's an easier argument to make in the Trump administration than it used to be. So.
Yeah, I think pretty profound evidence to show that deregulation has really taken place in the last year and a half or so. And that's a good thing. But then I have concerns about the state of California imposing its own regulations that far exceed that of what the federal government had done. And frankly, the ideology in the state of California, certainly in the political class, seems to be that of we've got better ideas as to how to run your life than you may come up with, and the aversion to the taking of a risk in terms of trying. I think of all the many things that have been very, very impressively conquered in this nation, and certainly right here in the state of California, and I don't know if those things would take place today with the extraordinary amount of safeguards that have to be in place. And of course, safety is always a wise thing, but to take it to extremes to the extent that the core mission cannot be met, and there's it really puts a damper on the ability to try different things. Obviously, wisdom and safety have to be a part of that.
Of course, you prompted me to remember something related to your comment about, you know, the state of California, and do they know better, and can they make better choices than we can? The keynote speaker for the luncheon this afternoon, introduced by Doris Matsui, was Judy Woodruff PBS NewsHour, an extraordinarily accomplished journalist. But this, of course, was a speech that showed some opinion and not just journalism. And she's of the opinion that California is leading the way.
Interesting.
In the way we should handle the problems that our society faces. And you know, Sacramento has faced them already, and they're handling them well, and they're dealing with everything we're dealing with nationally. And so there's one view of how California
well, and it's
regulates
not,
its people.
Obviously, there are many who feel that way. But I look at some of the true, absolute realities confronting the state of California that they've been able to put off for a period of time. And to frankly massage to the point that the public has no hope, no realistic possibility of becoming acutely aware of how bad things are, such as unfunded liabilities that are going to come back to haunt the state. There's just no doubt about it. What that's going to look like when it happens and when it may crop up, I don't know. But rest assured, absent some legitimate concerted effort to change things, it will become a problem.
Oh, that is the monster under the bed that no one dares address if you want to get reelected. And I think there's never been an interview with a politician that they didn't ask him about it. And and that's the fact.
Yeah.
You want to get reelected? Don't spend your time addressing that that thing that is lurking in the future for our children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It really truly is.
As a side note, it's not all been serious. Business here. The group has a lot of fun. There's a ton of networking, and people seem to really be enjoying themselves. And as far as my reports go, you know, this morning I was talking about DACA and Dreamers and the agenda that this group has. But besides that, we've been asking these movers and shakers from California, where do they stand on Tim Draper's proposed ballot initiative that we vote California into becoming three states?
Yeah.
And tomorrow morning I'm playing all those back. But have you done a show on that yet?
I have not, but it's on the list.
Oh well, let me know because I'll tune in. I just think it's an extraordinarily amusing proposition, and you know what? There's serious arguments on both sides, but people seem to not take it very seriously.
Getting it on the ballot and even accomplishing an electoral victory is one thing, but the Congress has to buy in, and there's a whole lot of other factors that have to come into play before it can become reality. But I think it'd be interesting for people to take a look at where this change would put you in terms of political ideology, and people may be surprised by that if you look at a map of the state.
And California's been there before and actually voted to split, and the Congress wouldn't let them. But and even if it's not taken seriously and it doesn't happen, I hope people stop and wonder why somebody would have introduced that idea in the first place.
I think there is a tremendous amount of help in looking at those things on an ongoing basis and just relying upon the status quo, relying upon the people in the state of California. And my sense, quite frankly, is that it's probably everywhere, but it seems to be more palpable in California. The lack of engagement on the part of the electoral, where people just really truly do not, the people who listen to this program are very, very, very engaged in public policy. And they're not all in lockstep agreement. It's not a monolithic group, to be sure, but they're engaged. They know what's going on. And, I think there's so many people who just, they're busy with their lives. It's not a comment of criticism or condemnation, but they've got so many things going on in their own world. They're raising families. They're working a lot to pay bills and do things well. And, they kind of don't, necessarily pay, real close attention to what's going on. And when you start telling them about some of the ballot measures that they have voted for, after the fact, as a kind of a post-mortem on an election, they're stunned to find out, that's not what I wanted. Well, no, because you were told that it would do something entirely differently. So I think that's an issue here. So every now and then to have something come up that causes people, especially those in power, to be reminded of the fact that, yes, your world can change, and in our system of governance, it can change by the people who are at the bottom of the org chart, if you will, that have the broadest swath of influence, the voters. And that's not a bad thing for them to get a dose of reality on periodically. I think it's positive.
No, this, again, this initiative of three states, it might serve just to shake up people's thinking a little bit. And so maybe.